Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and we're going to end the show today with some old music that's gotten some new life, courtesy of a hit show.
It doesn't hurt me.
That's Kate Bush is Running Up That Hill. It was featured recently in an episode of Netflix's Stranger Things. But for people born in the 21st century, it was the first time maybe they'd even heard that song, and they liked it a lot. The track was a modest hit in 1985, when some of us may have played it on our college radio shows. At least two of us around here have. And now 37 years later, it is the number one most streamed song on iTunes, number four on Spotify's most streamed song, and it is the most streamed song in the U.S. and the U.K. And other Kate Bush songs are also being discovered and cropping up on TikTok. As TikToker IMEP said, it's crazy to me that you guys have only just discovered the goddess that is Kate Bush because of a bloody Stranger Things episode. Now, Stranger Things have happened than a TV show soundtrack bringing an old banger like Running Up That Hill back to the forefront. But Kate Bush is notoriously tight about who she licenses her music to. And according to Stranger Things music supervisor Nora Felder, the show likely wouldn't have gotten a nod if the artist wasn't already a huge fan. In a statement about the recent resurgence of the work, Kate Bush said that Running Up That Hill, quote, is being given a whole new lease on life by young fans who love the show. I love it too. She thanked those fans and added, I wait with bated breath for the rest of the series in July. And as Linda Carter, yes, Wonder Woman, tweeted yesterday, tell all the kids who are just discovering Kate Bush, just wait until you hear Wuthering Heights. Joining us now is longtime Kate Bush superfan Allison Stein, staff writer at Salon. Her latest culture piece is called From Stranger Things to TikTok, Kate Bush Speaks to Lonely Kids, and Here's Why. Hi, Allison.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Hey, listeners, if you are a Kate Bush fan, we want to hear from you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Maybe you can tell us what her music has meant to you. And let's try to get some specific stories from parents about budding Kate Bush fans. Has your kid been engaging with her music on TikTok? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So, Allison, what makes this Kate Bush moment more than just a blip in the culture, more than an old song being used in a soundtrack?
Well, I think two things. Kate Bush has an appeal to kids for a couple reasons. She's big and real. She's really emotional and earnest, which, you know, teens also are and tweens are. She's also weird. Kate Bush is just her odd, unique self. Talking about other songs on Wuthering Heights, she screams. On Waking the Witch, it's pretty scary, you know. She's not afraid to go there, to be odd. And it makes sense that she's found this place on Stranger Things because she is a Stranger Things. And she's a strange thing herself. And I can see kids really relating to that and needing that.
And give us a little bit of history for the next generation or the new generation discovering Kate Bush. What are some important points, one or two important points in her career arc?
Well, she started very young. She taught herself to play the piano when she was 11, which is my son's age. She used to play this old organ in her family's barn. Her first album came out, I believe, when she was 19. And she did a tour then in 1979. That album is called The Kick Inside. And she had another album like 9 months later called Lionheart. And she had a lot of albums in pretty quick succession. Never Forever, The Dreaming, Hounds of Love, which is the 1985 album that Running Up That Hill is from. But after 1979, she didn't tour for a really long time. She did some shows in 2014 because her son apparently convinced her to go out on stage again. But, you know, loving Kate Bush is loving someone who really puts herself into the work, into the albums. And, you know, you have to love those songs as they are, even if you may not be able to see them live.
Let's listen. Let's actually hear from Jim on line one, who is a big Kate Bush fan. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling in.
My pleasure. Thank you for bringing Kate Bush to a wider audience. And I have been a fan of hers since the 70s. I grew up listening to mostly, of course, music by men, and hearing her first album and her second album, it was the first time I felt like I was looking at the world through a woman's eyes, if you know what I mean. I felt like it really got me thinking differently about things, and it had such an impact on me, I actually wrote her a letter. And by golly, she sent me a handwritten letter back thanking me and saying how much she appreciated my thoughts. And so I've held on to that and mounted it with my poster of her. Just glad to hear her reaching more people.
I love that you called, and I love that you know what the letter is, because that was my next question, Jim. Thank you for calling in. Let's talk to Bobby calling in from Union City, New Jersey on line two. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, good afternoon. Nice to hear you talking about Kate Bush.
I agree. Tell me why you think so.
Yeah, well, as I was telling the screener, I had the terrific opportunity to meet her in, I believe it was 1986, at, you remember Tower Records in New York?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she did an album signing for Hounds of Love, and I bought that album, and I also bought the album Wuthering Heights. And I met her, and she asked me what name when she was signing, and I said, just make it Heathcliff. and she let me take pictures of her as well. She was so charming. I couldn't believe it. I was telling the screener, it's a darn shame. I don't believe she ever really toured the United States. She did appear on Saturday Night Live around 78 or 79. She did the song Them Heavy People and Rolling the Ball from her first album. But that's it. I don't think she ever did anything else in the States.
Bobby, thank you. Super fan Bobby there. Allison Stein is from Salon Magazine. She wrote Stranger Things to TikTok. Kate Bush speaks to lonely kids and here's why. You're hearing our callers tell us how much they love Kate Bush. So you write in the piece, Kate Bush was a true visionary artist, was constantly experimenting, even if not everyone always saw the fruits of her labor. You picked out a few songs that illustrate her unsung artistry. You picked out Song of Solomon. Why this one?
Oh, gosh. Well, that is from the first album that I ever heard of hers, which came out in, that's The Red Shoes in 1993. And I was a tween. I was about my son's age. And I had heard about her album in actually a newspaper review. I read a review of it and I thought, this sounds really weird. And so I went to the record store in the mall and I bought it with my babysitting money. And, you know, every song in that album is so sweeping and passionate and intense. But that song just builds to this bridge. And I remember, you know, as a former singer myself, I remember hearing that a bridge is the true sign of a good song. And her bridges are just, they just blow you away. They're so big, but also they're so small in their emotions.
Let's listen to Song of Solomon from Kate Bush.
This is the Song of Solomon.
That's Kate Bush, Song of Solomon. And Allison, you know, the second part of the headline of your piece is Kate Bush speaks to lonely kids. Here's why. What particularly resonates with lonely kids?
Well, I think anytime you're different, including different because you're creative and you want to make art or you love fantasy like the Stranger Kid things, you know, you're going to feel like an outsider. And Kate is the queen of that. She has this nurturing feel to her songs, like she's looking out for you. It just feels like it's going to be okay because she's been there and she talks so openly about her emotions, the emotions that, you know, tweens might feel. I mean, in Running Up That Hill, there's a lyric about thunder in our hearts. I can't think of anything that describes a tween better than thunder in their hearts. And the music makes it feel like it's all right to feel, to have a heart, not to harden yourself, even though the world may want you to do that.
Let's listen to David. Let's talk to David, actually, on line three, calling in from Brooklyn. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great.
I was in Key West, Florida, as a lifeguard in 85. And we just loved that song. I'd lifeguard all day, and then I would head to the Copa. And I was straight, right? But it was a gay club. Mm-hmm. And that song would come on, and we would just go crazy. It was wonderful. You know, it was like living with abandon. I just loved it.
Love that, living with abandon. You mentioned in your, that you have a tween, and you heard your tween humming, running up that hill. Mm-hmm. What has he told you about her music?
Well, he says, and first of all, I've been trying to get him into Kate Bush since he was born, So thank you, Stranger Things, for finally doing this, breaking through. He said that he feels like it does not feel like a song from the 80s. He said it feels like a song from right now. It feels very contemporary. And he also said it feels like the future, and he can really relate to the feelings in the song, like if feeling jealousy or feeling left out. And he said it feels like she's speaking to him. And I think for a lot of tweens, a lot of kids, I know me back in the 90s, it felt like she was speaking to me too. So she continues to speak, across the years.
You touch on how hard it is to be a big fan of a musician who doesn't really tour, to Bobby's point earlier. Do you have a different relationship with the music because you can't see her live? Or has it just become more a part of your imagination? That's what I think sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a part of it, especially because so many of her songs were influenced not exactly by living, but by reading. Wuthering Heights, of course, the Bronte novel. Her song Cloud Busting was inspired by a memoir called A Book of Dreams. So the idea that you really can live through art, maybe especially when you're a kid or you're stuck in a small town and this is all you have, the page or your piano or a painting. So living through the art, I think, helps a lot. But I think also, she puts so much into her albums, and she's said different things over the years as to why she hasn't toured so much. But I think one of the things she said was that, it's already all there. It's all in the album. All the work is there. And it feels like she's an artist that's enough for her. She doesn't necessarily have to be famous or on stage. She just wants to say the things in her heart. And I think that's a good message for kids too.
I have been speaking with Allison Stein, staff writer at Salon. Her latest culture piece is called From Stranger Things to TikTok, Kate Bush Speaks to Lonely Kids. Here's why. Allison, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much.
We're going to go out on Wuthering Heights by Kate Bush. And I know you know the words, Allison, and you said you were a singer, so we'll leave your mic open should you want to sing along. Here's Kate Bush.
You realize this is like the hardest song in the English language.
And that is all of it for today. I'm Allison Stewart. I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you. I will meet you back here next time.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.